Welcome to the Stonebridge Community Church online worship service. Today you'll hear the Word of God read, the message from this weekend's in-person service, and two songs to guide you in worship. Thanks for joining us today.
If you're new or visiting with us, I am Pastor John, senior pastor here at Stonebridge, and we've been in the sermon series called Journey to Jerusalem, and we're wrapping that sermon series up today. During this sermon series, we've been looking at Luke chapter 9 to Luke chapter 19, this journey that Jesus takes to Jerusalem and looking at key moments there. In Luke chapter 9, we're told that Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. He was determined to go to Jerusalem. He was determined because this was his call. This is what God called Jesus to do as the Messiah. And there in Jerusalem, only pain and suffering waited for him. But this was Jesus's call. And the hope is that as we look at the way in which Jesus pursued his call, that we could understand how we can pursue the call God places on our lives. That we can understand what God calls each of us to do. And I think that idea of the call of God, it's a pretty vague idea. It's hard to nail it down. And we haven't given you any sort of clear answers during this sermon series, because I don't think we can ever have God's call 100% clearly and totally. This is a God who is beyond our comprehension. This is a God who works in ways that we don't understand. But by reflecting on the way Jesus pursued his call, maybe we can get some ideas that nudge us in the correct direction. We can set some boundaries around what it is God does call us to and doesn't call us to. And then hopefully in our own lives, we can understand the specific call, the call God places on us. So that's the hope and aim of the sermon series. And we're wrapping it up today by looking at Jesus's entry into Jerusalem. So I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. And I invite you to hear God's word. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Now as he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us together here this morning. We thank you that we are gathered as your people. And in this moment, Lord, we ask that your scriptures would speak clearly to us, that through your scriptures, we would get a glimpse of your character, of who you are, that we might take up the call you've placed on our lives to go and be your ambassadors, to go and share the message that you've given us to share, a message of hope and resurrection, Lord. So help us, Lord, to learn from you. We thank you. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this passage of Jesus entering into Jerusalem, it's traditionally called the triumphal entry. And in it, Jesus enters into Jerusalem as the Messiah. He is triumphant. He is entering in as the Messiah, and people are praising him. They're praising God and they're praising him as this all takes place. But the thing with Jesus is, as he enters in as the Messiah, like so many other things in Jesus' life, he's not going to do it in the way that people expect. He has to defy expectations a bit. Now, when it comes to the Messiah, sometimes we all can have the impression that in Jesus' day, there was a checklist. And if you just checked off, he fulfilled this prophecy, he fulfilled this prophecy, he fulfilled this prophecy, then everybody would know that this person was the Messiah and they would all agree. But clearly, that's not actually the way that it worked. In Jesus' own day, most people didn't grasp the fact that he was the Messiah. It wasn't clear to them. And there were as many different expectations of the Messiah as there were different groups within Judaism in Jesus' day. Now, a common idea is that people expected the Messiah to be a military ruler who was going to overthrow the Roman Empire. And that was one expectation that people had of the Messiah. But only some people would have had that expectation. It was a popular one, but not the only one. There were other groups within Judaism who expected the Messiah to not be a military leader, but expected the Messiah to be a teacher of ethics, a teacher of righteousness, who would show people how to live a righteous life, but not lift up an army and raise an army. And there were other people who thought the Messiah would go and lead a small group of people to build a new civilization and a new society out in the wilderness. And I could keep going, but there were all sorts of different expectations of what the Messiah was supposed to do. Some thought that the Messiah would be a son of David in a literal sense, a biological descendant of King David. Others thought the Messiah would be the son of David in a figurative sense, somebody who would be like David, similar to David in some ways, but better than David in others, because David had a lot of room for improvement. And others thought the Messiah would have nothing to do with David. There were all these different expectations. So when Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, he's building his own set of expectations of who the Messiah is, and he is sending a clear message. I'm not sure if you've reflected on just how manufactured of a moment this actually is in the triumphal entry. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't something that just happened by coincidence. Jesus arranged this moment. It took me a few times reading the text to understand the lengths to which Jesus actually went to engineer this moment. I mean, he takes two of his disciples, he sends them to a specific location, to a specific spot within that location to get a specific donkey and to answer a specific question from people there with a specific almost code word so that they would know what was actually happening. Jesus arranged this moment, and in doing so, he's sending a message. He is the Messiah. But he's not a Messiah in the way most anybody would have expected. All those expectations people had, Jesus actually is defying them. And I think to understand just how much Jesus is defying them, it's important that we look at the fact that this is Jesus' call, and we look at how he pursued his call here. See, being the Messiah is Jesus' call. And we've talked a lot about how Jesus had a call, and we all have a call as well that God has placed on our lives. But the thing about a call is, it's not only important that you try to fulfill that call. The way in which you fulfill the call, the way in which you pursue the call is important also. The message that that sends is critical and central to that call as well. It's not just a task to be completed. The way in which you pursue it matters. So through this sermon series, we've been looking at the way in which Jesus pursued his call. And I want to just remind you some of the things that we've learned. So Jesus, in pursuing his call, what have we learned about how he did it, what he thought was important? Well, one thing we learned as Jesus pursued his call is that God's call requires discernment. Remember, he told a sister who was complaining to him about her other sister, Mary and Martha. He said to Martha, calm down, pause, relax. Mary had decided to sit in front of Jesus and learn from him, and Jesus lifted up Mary's example. In the busyness of our lives, we have to stop, we have to reflect, and we have to make sure that we're actually learning from Jesus. that we're actually trying to listen to Jesus, that we're paying attention to who he is, caring about his character. Because otherwise, if you aren't really paying attention to Jesus and you think God places a call on your life and you don't take the time to discern that, to reflect on Scripture, to talk with other people, to confirm that call, well, you're not talking about God's call. You're talking about an impulse. That's not God's call in your life. So we learned that in order to discern God's call, you have to accept Jesus' instructions to pause, to reflect. And Jesus clearly reflected on God's law regularly as he pursued his call as Messiah. Another thing that we learn here with Jesus and the way he pursued his call, any call from God, it's going to reflect God's priorities. And the way you understand God's priorities is to look at Jesus and what Jesus's priorities were. We get the best indication of God's character through Jesus. And Jesus's priorities, they're not a secret. We don't have to look very far to understand what they were. He says them very clearly in Luke chapter 4. Jesus says that the Spirit of God has anointed him. And that word anointed in Hebrew, it's the same word for Messiah. The Messiah just means the anointed one. So we know what Jesus' priorities are because he says, this is why I've been anointed. This is why I'm the Messiah. What does Jesus say his priorities are? To bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, to declare recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed. If you think that God has placed a call on your life, but it has nothing to do with any of those missions that I just read to you, with any of those pursuits that I just read to you, with any of those priorities I've just read to you, that's not God's call. And if you think you have a call placed on your life from God, but it actually runs counter to proclaiming good news to the poor, to proclaiming release to the captives, to proclaiming recovery of sight to the blind, or to setting free the oppressed, that's not God's call. God's call is going to reflect God's priorities because God's priorities come from God's character. So we've learned from Jesus' example about the call that God might place on our lives and the way he pursued it, some of the boundaries around that call. We also learned that God's call, it leads us into freedom and true freedom, not just self-indulgence where we say, no one can tell me what to do. Ah, that's not freedom. True freedom in the Bible comes from obedience. It begins with obedience, and it starts with humility and recognizing what you don't know and the ways in which you can grow and learn. And as you learn more and more, as you humble yourself and you grow, you can make wiser decisions which lead to more opportunities to live a wise life in relationship with God and Jesus. That's freedom. That's the freedom Jesus talks about and leads us into. We also learned that this call isn't always easy. There are moments of lament. There are moments of grief and sadness. And we have to address that, not be afraid of it, but acknowledge our own grief. And if you're running away from your grief, you never have time to sit and pause and reflect. Jesus laments over Jerusalem before he enters into it. Those moments are important. And then last week, we learned from Jesus' example with Zacchaeus. Central to God's call is accepting people. Recognizing that God has accepted us, even though we are difficult. And recognizing that because of that, we extend that acceptance to others, even though they might be difficult. Jesus embraced a chief tax collector, and the rest of the crowd around him groaned. That acceptance is critical to God's call. So if the call of God that you believe is placed on your life leads you to isolating others and excluding others, that's not God's call. That doesn't reflect Jesus' priorities here in the Gospel of Luke. The way in which Jesus pursued his call is important for us to understand if we want to pursue the call God places on our lives. And here at the triumphal entry, I feel like Jesus is topping it all off. As he enters into Jerusalem, how does he do so? Well, it's triumphal in a way. It's almost like that's an ironic name, though. Because in a Roman triumph, the victor, the conqueror would enter into Rome on a war horse with an army behind them and the spoils of war there to display the glory of the victor. But how does Jesus enter into Jerusalem? On a donkey, on a colt. And yes, it fulfills an Old Testament passage, but there were other Old Testament passages Jesus could have chosen to fulfill this day. He chose this one. And who does Jesus ride into Jerusalem with? Is it an army behind him that's going to take over the city by force? No. It's a ragtag group of misfit disciples. It's people who have been following him, likely some of them tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners. His disciples were misfits in society. And there they are following him, and it's not a mighty army there. And sadly, as Jesus knows, in just a few days, that ragtag group is also going to abandon him. Jesus doesn't enter in with the spoils of war. He doesn't ride into Jerusalem to conquer it and take it over and win it. He rides into Jerusalem to sacrifice himself. And in that, I think Jesus is helping us understand, as he pursues his call as Messiah, he's going to do it in a way nobody would have expected, with a message nobody could ever have expected. According to Jesus, as he rides into to Jerusalem in the triumphal entry, victory is accomplished through suffering. Power is gained through sacrifice. Hope is proclaimed through defeat. It is only through the cross that resurrection is made possible. As you discern God's call on your life, as you try to figure out what it is God is calling you to in this season in your life, I want to just state very clearly, God is not calling you to go out and win some war. God is not calling you to go out and declare victory over other people. God is not calling you to go and win. The call of God will reflect God's priorities in Jesus' example. God is calling you to sacrifice for others. God is calling you to serve the community around you. God is calling you to give up of what you have so that other people might be blessed, might know the news of hope and resurrection that Jesus brought to us. That's at the core of God's call. That's the message Jesus was sending when he arranged the triumphal entry, so that thousands of years later, we would be sitting here reflecting on it today. That's the Messiah, and that's the God that we worship. Please pray with me.
everything. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We can live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none besides you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none besides you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love. In you alone, and I will.